All righty, we continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And now joining us in studio, former NFL defensive player, played his college ball at Florida, has over 100 career NFL sacks, and now is kicking ass and taking names from CBS Sports Network. That's our dear friend in Kevin Carter. Kevin, great to see you as always. How you been?
Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, but it's tough times around here, and you're a big reason for the demise of yours truly, because you do owe me a dollar.
And with owe you a dollar.
The price of living here in New York City, you also told me it was going to be 100 pennies from when I beat you in a Super Bowl bet, and still I don't have that dollar, so I have to beg for change now.
Well, you know, hopefully me coming down here to studio, I had a day off, I was in studio last night. We had a game on our network, some Conference USA action. But hopefully coming down, this is an olive branch. Like, this is me,
That is true. I think this is better. I think this is better than the dollar, if I'm going to be honest with you.
I'll still pay you that dollar, but in the meantime, you can rest assured that I'm doing the right thing.
It's been like 3-4 years.
It has.
You tell me that you're going to pay me that dollar. That's like a girl saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to call you back. Don't worry.
But aren't you encouraged that I'm actually here in studio, though? Isn't that cool?
You're teasing us a little bit. That's what you're doing. Let me start you off with Alabama A&M. I think everyone's trying to figure out still what is the Alabama offense. And then for A&M, I know they lost their quarterback, but Max Johnson has experience before going back to his days at LSU. But A&M's a team that has a lot of talent, and we're all wondering if they could put it together.
A&M, Alabama is one of those matchups. It's like when you look at conference play across the country, there's somebody who has everyone's number, okay? And conference games are always tricky. You know, every championship that you see someone hoisting a trophy at the end of the season, there was a conference game that they probably should have lost. And it was someone that had no business being on the same field with them from a, you know, factual standpoint, like where they are, what their record is, how many yards, points per game, all those things. But they play this team that they know and then they see every year. They just play them tough because they have their number. Texas A&M is that team for Alabama and has been a thorn in their side for the last couple of years. I think largely because of their ability to match up from a physical standpoint. I think along the line of scrimmage, what you're seeing is Elko's defense. You're seeing dudes, you know, that put their hand on the ground that have been pedigreed and taught and coached in a certain way that it takes a while to build that. You know, when you have that going, then you see the fruits kind of coming after, even after someone's gone. You see Mike Elko's moved on to Duke, but, you know, like I said, the remnants of the players that he developed and coached are still there. I think in the last couple of weeks, they have something like 28 or 30 tackles for a loss. I mean, something just stupid. Like, so this defense has decided to come on. Max Johnson has been better than 60% all season long. And when he's had his chance, the last couple of games, he's played pretty well. Actually had a 300-yard game, actually had a couple touchdowns. So starting to look like he's the guy. And I think the rest of Texas A&M is starting to wake up, finally.
So last year in the SEC, right, LSU loses early in the season to Florida State. Mm-hmm. Everyone's clowning Brian Kelly with the family videos and all those things.
Yeah.
And everyone forgot about them. And the next thing you know, they're in the SEC championship game where they lose to Georgia. Is that happening now with A&M, where they had the early loss to Miami, everyone's forgetting about them, and then they'll be in the SEC title game?
Well, it very well could work out that way. Because, going into this year, the SEC West was sort of an enigma. It was sort of wide open. Not with anyone stepping up and being that heir apparent person who's going to take control. I thought coming into the season that it would be LSU. The LSU really had my, and still, they're at a point where after having dropped one to Ole Miss, it's going to be a little harder for them to do it. They'll probably beat each other up. But LSU was my team. But Texas A&M was another enigma that we just didn't know enough about, because we didn't know how they would play or whether or not they would play complementary football. And I think that's what we're starting to see. The talent's always been there, but we're starting to see complementary football. Now we're seeing things kind of work out. I was in studio last night with Danny Cannell. He thinks that Bama's going down. He thinks that since he thinks that Texas A&M has their number and Bama's going to go down. I personally think that Bama's going to win out, because I think that Bama knows what it is, and I think that Bama knows what it's not. So
I never pick against Alabama, and I can't stand Jimbo Fisher. Yeah. I think he's one of the more overrated coaches in the country.
Yeah.
I kind of like A&M though this weekend. I do.
It's definitely a game that will be interesting. It's one that I'm kind of waiting to see. We can prognosticate all we want, but even the expert's expert is going to be on bated breath, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen, because we really don't know. I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen on any game, but we really don't know this one. Looking at Alabama's offense, Roydell Williams, Jace McClellan, Jaden Milrow, you know, they're tough along the line of scrimmage, and their defense has recommitted itself to being old Alabama defense. Like, I'm talking like the standard of old Georgia defense.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're talking about. I mean, Georgia's lost 28 players to the NFL draft in the last two seasons, but the fact that a guy like Jalen Carter is content to sit behind Jordan Davis because he trusts in the coaching and knows he's going to go first round, that's the type of development you're talking about. So I think Bama has kind of recommitted itself to being that team because they know, take everything else away, we're still five stars. We're still talented. We can still kick your butt. You know, we can line up physically and beat you. And so I think giving themselves the best chance to win is kind of their plan going forward in lieu of developing, you know, Simpson or Buckner or whoever else is there.
Kevin Carter here with us from CBS Sports Network does a tremendous job as a college football analyst. You touched on LSU a little bit. Mm-hmm. I had high expectations for LSU as well.
Yeah.
They've been the most disappointing team to me in college football through the first few weeks.
Their defense, and I think, like, I like what they're doing in the run game. I think Logan Diggs and Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams, having someone basically be the leading rusher, not named Jaden Daniels, was the thing that I had the biggest problem with last year. I mean, Jaden Daniels he's dynamic. He's amazing. He's a one-man wrecking crew, but you can't put your quarterback in harm's way that much. He can't be your bread and butter because you need some bread and butter when people take away your bread and butter. So I like what they've been doing on the ground in terms of not, you know, running him so much, but their defense came up short this past weekend at Ole Miss. I mean, you give up that many points. And I know Lane Kiffin can dial it up. I know he's an offensive genius.
You're not going to win, though.
But you're not going to win. You're playing Big 12 football. And that's just not, you know, that's not going to work. So
when we take a look at Kentucky, I love Mark Stoops. I think he's one of the more underrated coaches in the country. I mm-hmm. think he's a top 10 coach in the country.
Yep.
And we know what he did to your alma mater last weekend. Jeez, I think that kid Davis is still running for another touchdown. How alive is Kentucky this week against a Georgia team that people are saying is vulnerable now?
I think it's a farce. I think, and I sat in studio last night, and don't get me wrong, we're paid to be objective, and we're paid to truly investigate. And as much as I can give credit to, you know, Ray Davis is averaging about .118 a game, they're turning in about, the Wildcats are rushing for about 170 yards per game, their offensive line is stout, their defensive line is stout, they're physical, they're built the right way. You know, there's so many great things about what they're doing. Devin Leary's not wowing me at quarterback, okay? And to me, when you talk about making hay against Georgia, you know, we act like Georgia's vulnerable. We act like that's actually a thing. Like, okay, vulnerability, when you throw two different running quarterbacks in an offense they've never seen or don't know what to think of in Auburn, yeah, you're going to have some success for a little while. When Spencer Rattler comes out and he's throwing it all over the yard, he's a good quarterback who can process. You face a quarterback like that, he's going to have some success for a half, you know, and then they make adjustments and then we come back down to reality. And I think we've seen that. But Georgia is not worried about us saying that they're vulnerable.
It's the same way that we talked about the Chiefs last year in the NFL. They're vulnerable and they won the Super Bowl.
They don't care. They're right now, they know they have Carson Beck. They know they don't have Stetson Bennett. They know they don't have the 29 guys that are playing on Sunday right now from the last two seasons. But what they do have is a type of buy-in from four and five star dudes like Jalen Carter who were waiting their turn, and now it's their shot. And they're every bit as talented as the guys who came before them. And we're seeing them be realized every weekend. And we're seeing them feather and basically take the evolutionary process of their quarterback, Carson Beck, slowly. He doesn't have to be the guy. He doesn't have to be the guy right now. He doesn't have to win games. We'll outpace you for a half, and then we'll beat your ass in the second half, and you'll lose the game.
Are they
and they're
to
content
you,
to do that.
Are they, to you, still the best team in college football?
Until someone says different, yes. Because you can't make them – I haven't seen them have to win a game a different way.
No, it's a fair point that you okay. bring up. To be the champ, you got to beat the champ. We could talk about Michigan. We could talk about the Pac-12. You got to find a way to beat Georgia.
And if you don't push him off his perch or make him change his course, he can basically still do the same thing he was doing and develop his quarterback. They can develop their quarterback at their own pace because no one's making the move.
And the schedule for them stinks.
The schedule is they're going to ride into the SEC championship game, and it's going to be easy. And I mean, but I think that kind of hurts the SEC, though, in terms of, the scenario of them possibly getting two teams in. I think that's done. I think you won't have, after a while, you won't have significant representation in the SEC, or in the top 25 of SEC teams, like you will, let's say, the Pac-12 right now. Let's say some other conferences.
Big 10, you could have two teams to get in again.
Big 10, you could very well have two teams to get in, because you're going to have two elite teams at the end of the season that will be left standing, and whether it's Michigan or the Ohio State University. But you don't have that in the SEC. The SEC is going to cannibalize itself, and teams are going to overachieve, and some teams are going to underachieve like LSU and get beat by someone that maybe they shouldn't lose to, and it's too hard. But that's where I think this year this is different. I think in years past we've said, the SEC, everything runs. Then I don't think the SEC is that strong. The quarterback play just isn't there across the league.
Wrap it up with Kevin Carter. Who wins Red River this week between Oklahoma and Texas?
I've got Texas. I do think we've been sleeping on Oklahoma, and I said as much. I think that, look, when you look at their defense, they came into last weekend giving up about 8.5 points a game. Dylan Gabriel is slinging it, 75% efficient. You know, he's only thrown a couple of interceptions, and he's got over 1,500 yards. This team is built right, but they're not elite, I think, in all the ways that Texas is elite. I think Texas, you saw the physicality along the line of scrimmage, and that's the one common denominator that I don't quite think this Oklahoma team is ready for. And I think, obviously, we'll get our answer this weekend, who's better, Oklahoma and Texas, and who's going to assume that leadership role. But right now it looks to be Quinn Ewers and the Longhorns.
I got 30 seconds before we got to hit a break, though. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, where's your confidence with Billy Napier at Florida?
My confidence with Billy Napier is a 10 because I like him. My confidence in the staff that he's assembled and to be so naive to think that he will not have to replace staff and get more players, that is the open-ended part. But as far as person-to-person, man-to-man, I've spent time with Billy Napier. I really like who he is, and I really like the process and the way that he's working his plan, going about doing it. But that doesn't mean that it'll necessarily work in this day and age in college football, especially at a branded program like Florida.
He is Kevin Carter. It's a great job, CBS Sports Network. I have exonerated you from the dollar. I do not need the dollar anymore. This is made up for coming in studio. Always great to see you, my friend.
Give me your Venmo. I'll pitch you.
I thought it was 100 pennies, my friend.
It keeps changing.